You know, and the weekend was a reminder for me, amen, that supernatural things happen even in simple atmospheres. Amen. I think Saturday night, while we were ordaining Brother Divine, later on, somebody, a child, you know, apparently told Pastor BJ that he saw an angel standing behind me, you know, with his hand on my shoulders. And I thought, that's also very good for the child. Amen. Supernatural things happen. You know, and on Sunday, somebody was telling me, he said, you know, that I don't think you know, and I didn't know. You know, she said, many years ago, in fellowship, I just said, somebody, you have an opportunity, and you think it's good. I said, but it's not good. I said, so don't take it. It's not good. So as she left, she and her sister were talking to me. I said, I think that is you. This admission thing. Somebody had offered to help her. And she didn't have everything she needed. But somebody offered to help. It looked like it was good. But it was not good. Because eventually she got kicked out. You know, and had to go start again somewhere else. You know, and I'd never known the story. If I don't even remember being in the first university ever, I don't remember it. You know, but it's supernatural things happen. Amen. Even when we gather for Carol Suya or Suya Carol night, can I have an amen? God will speak to you. God will touch you. God will bless you. And you'll never be the same again. Can I have a loud amen? Matthew chapter 2. I wish that was what Pastor M.Y. read from the version Matthew chapter 2. Then I won't have to read it again, okay? But I have to read it for my text because he read Luke chapter 2. But it's okay to read all of his stories. Can I have an amen? Matthew chapter 2 from verse 1, it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and I've come to worship him. Can I hear you say, we have seen his star, and I've come to worship him. So verse 3, he said, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Can I hear you say, for thus it is written by the prophets, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Jerusalem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary's mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Hallelujah. First question, how many wise men were there? It's not said. Okay, but they had three gifts. Amen. The three gifts turned into three wise men over time. Hallelujah. So there are no three wise men. I just said that to make sure that you are back in church. You know, from the long reading, some people have gone. Some people have arrived home. They are already frying plantain. Some people already at the bus stop. They were already looking for a bus all the while I was reading. So I want to bring you back. That's why I asked that question. But then it's good for us to remind ourselves of these stories. It's good for us to say them again and again and again. We are living in the days when people now talk about happy holidays. You know, that's the greeting now, happy holidays. People are ashamed to say Merry Christmas, and some are actually deliberately trying to remove it, so that we will not talk about Christmas. And it's Christmas, not Xmas. Can I have an amen? Because sometimes you may do it innocently, but there are people who are not innocent about the doing of it. They're actually trying to make sure that Jesus the Christ is no longer mentioned and no longer preached. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. You know, for instance, when I write text messages, I put GBWU, and that's God be with you. You know, and you know where it is? Because actually, that's where they derived the word goodbye from. It used to be God be with you. God be with you. That's what you would say then. And then eventually it became goodbye. So I decided, when I read that, I decided, no, I'd rather go back to God be with you. Because I think it's a better greeting to give to people. Can I have an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So there are three things, really. So I'm going to say them very quickly. Three things. I came tonight to tell you to follow the wise men. Okay? Wise men still seek him. Okay? Wise men, just like they did back then, wise men still seek Jesus today. And so there are three things that the wise men did that I want you to follow the wise men in doing. Number one, the wise men looked for the signs from God. Okay? So the Bible says that they were looking at the star from the east, which was the sign from God to guide them to where Jesus was. Okay? Look for the signs. One of the things about God is that he will always leave a sign somewhere in your life, somewhere in your environment, somewhere in your surrounding that tells you that he's still God and he's still working out something for you. It means that no matter what you are going through, in your darkest moments perhaps, if you look very well, there's a sign in there that says that God is with you. There's a sign in there that says that even if it looks bad, it's not so bad that God has departed from you. He leaves himself a sign. Can I hear you say he leaves himself a sign? In Acts chapter 14, they were talking about that. And they said, look, nevertheless, I think that's Acts 14, 17. It said, nevertheless, he did not leave himself without a witness. He was talking about a time when people denied God and God was upset. And God, the Bible says God left them to their reprobate ways. He said, but nevertheless, he did not leave himself without a witness in that he did good. And he gave them rain in his seasons. So those signs sometimes can be very subtle signs. You know, so the fact that he did good, the fact that there was still rain in his season, was God still saying to them, hey guys, I'm still here. There's still a way with me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Romans chapter 1 is the same thing, where the Bible says that people started doing all kinds of things, and men with men, women with women, and all of that, doing all of the things that were not right. He said, however, in all of the creation, Romans chapter 1 verse 20, he said his invisible nature is clearly seen. In all of creation, meaning that look, in all of that time, God still leaves it very clear that if you look at just nature alone, you will know there is God. So it's only a fool, that's why Psalm 14 says that, that it's only a fool that says in his heart that there's no God. Because it's impossible, if you actually took time out to look for the signs, it's impossible not to know that there is God. Can I add one more thing? It's impossible not to know that Jesus is coming soon. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The signs are there. God put the signs there. You know, it's like when you are traveling. As you are traveling and let's say from where to wherever, whatever town you are going to, as you get on the expressway, you know that the signboards are very few. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The signboards you will see, Dunya and Sons Limited, you will hardly find any. You know, and then another song, you want very few. Then as you are approaching the town, what happens? You will see one. Then you will see two. Then you see three, four, five. I mean, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Then they start becoming many and many and many and many. And what is that? There are signs that you are about to enter a town. In fact, if you didn't know where you were, you start reading those signs. Because it's on those signs, you will see the name of the town that you have just entered or you are entering. Are you with me? Jesus spoke about that and he said there are signs. He says we don't know the exact date. We don't know the exact hour that is coming back. He said, but there are signs. And he gave us the signs. And those signs are becoming rapid. They are happening in rapid succession that you will be a fool not to realize those signs. And to know that the end of the age is near. Are you hearing me tonight? Why am I saying all of that? Because you don't want to be caught unawares. The Bible says the coming of the Lord will be as in the days of Noah. What were they doing? He said they were eating and drinking, marrying and being married. They just carried on. They were having fun. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then the flood came suddenly. Woo! Noah was building an ark and they were laughing. A sign. But they were laughing. Are you hearing me, anybody? And what it's saying is that except for those signs, everything else will look normal. Look at your neighbor. Say, I think he's talking to you tonight. Tell them again. Say, watch out for the signs. You know, very often, for instance, if somebody had also a very bad disease or sickness, and they tell you this is it, maybe they even tell you there's no real treatment for it. Sometimes all you need is a little sign. Maybe pain reducing a little bit or disappearing a little bit. That may be all you need. That's an indication that God has already stepped into that situation. Are you with me? And what do? Grab the sign. Grab the sign. You know, if you were in a bad one, the gentleman who was talking about the leg and all of that, the first time when he told me and he said, you know, the pain just disappeared. I said, so the wound will disappear too. You know, the pain disappearing is a sign that the wound will heal. Or has healed because he was wearing shoes. He said, the pain, leg. I said, well, then it means that the wound itself also will go. Because it's a sign. Are you with me? Number two, God's requirement is worship. The wise men were going. And when they were going there, they said, we have seen a star and we are looking to go and do what? Worship him. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8 says, what does God require of you, O man? He said, nothing other than to walk justly, to live with mercy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And walk humbly with your God. Love justice, live with mercy, and walk humbly with your God. God's requirement is very simple. He wants us to worship him. And when we're talking about worship, I'm not talking about when we are in church and we're singing a nice slow song. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Did you know that a slow song is not necessarily worship? Are you with me? Worship is of the heart. And worship is actually about your whole life. Worship is about laying down your whole life in the service of him or to his glory, to give him praise. That's the real worship. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, I beseech you, brethren, to let go of all the sins that beset us. He said, and present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. That word service is a derivation of the word worship. So presenting your whole life is what God expects as worship. Hallelujah. And what that means is that everything you do becomes worship. Everything. Colossians 3:17. It said, whatever you do in word or in deed, then you ought to do all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. He said, it is whether you even eat or drink. Even eating and drinking. He said, do everything to the glory of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your whole life. So what God requires is that your whole life is a testimony about him. Your whole life gives him praise. Your whole life pleases him. That is worship. God's requirement of us is worship. Can I have an amen? You know, in Colossians 3:22, is it 22 now, 23? It says, even when you are serving, when you are working, it says you should do everything heartily as though you are doing it to God. It said, because it is from God that you will receive your reward. Are you still there? I've never yet worked for anybody. I've worked in many places. Are you hearing me? So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But when I walk, people sometimes ask me, why are you walking like this? Why do you do what you do? When I walked in the civil service, they say, why are you walking like this? Because I don't work for the government. Are you hearing me? I serve the Lord Christ. I worked in a place, an Islamic community, that the chief imam had to sit one day and say, sorry, doctor, are you a Muslim? I said, no, I'm not. The man was weak. He said, and you serve us the way you do? I said, yes. That's the expectation of my boss. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Everything about you ought to be worship. Number three, they asked them. You know, they asked this guy. So I said, number one is what? Look for and follow the signs that God puts in your life. Number two is what? God's requirement is worship. And number three, seek and stay with God's written word. So these guys were following signs. But when they asked them, they said, where would this king be born? Verse 5, they said, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written. So, I mean, we are also now in a generation where people want just the spectacular. They want somebody to lead them by prophecy. They want to be told what to do about everything. But these guys, even though they were following signs, they still knew that those signs must conform to what God has written. Are you hearing me? So when they asked them, they said, where will he be born? They said, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written. Stay with God's word. If your walk with God will be fruitful, stay with the written word of God and subject the signs or whatever else. You know, you can have all kinds of things. You can have dreams, you can have visions, but subject it all to what? God's word. Isaiah 34 verse 16. He says, seek ye the word of the Lord and read. He said, for none of it shall fail, and none shall seek his mates. So seek the word of the Lord and read. Stay with that written word. In 1 Peter, Peter was writing, and he said, look, we were there with Jesus when we had a voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. He said, however, we have a more sure word of prophecy. What was he talking about? He was saying the one that is written is called a more sure word. It's more sure. More certain. We can be more certain about the things that have been written than the ones that we see, than the ones that we hear. He said the one that is written is called a more sure word of prophecy. Are you with me? Make up your mind. You know, you're approaching a new year. If you haven't been doing it, make up your mind. You become a real student of God's word. Amen? You know, it's only when it comes to the Bible that people ask you, how should I read it? Yeah. Said, man, how do you read the Bible? I say it's a book. How do you read a book? Are you with me, anybody? Have you ever had anybody ask you, buy a book before in a bookshop and say, sorry, how do you read this book? They never ask. But when it's the Bible, they say, how should I read the Bible? I say it's a book. It has a beginning, it has an end. Read it from the beginning and go to the end. Amen. When we're in school, we say we read the book from Bali to Bali. Look at your neighbor, say, read the Bible. From Bali to Bali. Hallelujah. That's your textbook. Amen. That's your textbook. You should know what is in that book. You know, the biggest errors I've seen are shocking, that I've seen in the body of Christ, and I'm shocked. Because I say to myself, did they read the Bible? Because if they read the Bible, it is clear. I've seen errors that are glaringly written in the Bible. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And people are doing it in church, and they are clapping. And I'm thinking, eh? So which book are they reading? Are you still with me? But just like we started off today, if you will read that book, it's also a surefire guarantee that your prayers will become very effective. If you abide in me, John 15 verse 7, and my word abide in you, then you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. Why? Because this is the confidence we have in prayer. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we may ask, then we know that we have granted to us what we have asked for. Why does that happen? He said, if we ask it according to his will. How do I know his will? What he wrote is his will. Can I have an amen? What he wrote is his will. I'm hoping tonight that I'm speaking to wise men, and that includes women. Am I right? So then you have to do what the wise men did. Watch out for the signs that God has put in your life. Many times, many of you have thought, this is life is so difficult and all that. But if you sat down, you will see that all through your life, God had been working. He had been working. You know, everybody will say, "Oh, for your belly." So there are certain things that they are bad. But when you look at it again, you say it could have been worse. Why was it not worse? Because God held you. Are you hearing me? Matthew chapter 14, the Bible says that Peter was walking on the water and beginning to sink. So he was sinking in slow motion on water. Sinking, I mean, the way people know. If you sink on water, is it slow? Eh? You slow, it's just, you see the person going down like this? Small, 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 small. Eh? You just go. But Peter was going small, 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 small. And he said, "Ah, Master, help!" Why was he not going very fast? Because God was still helping him. Are you hearing me? Whatever you think isn't good. You know, some people will sit down now. This year, I was trusting God for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It didn't happen. My friend, the things that could have gone wrong, that didn't go wrong. Are you hearing me? It's only because God was with you. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. So follow the signs. Number two, make up your mind that as a wise man, as a wise woman, you are going to worship God. And number three, you are going to study God's word. Bow down your heads for a moment. And I don't know what God has said to you tonight. Maybe what you need to do is give him thanks. Maybe you've been complaining and murmuring and grumbling. You know that's what the children of Israel did. They grumbled and grumbled and grumbled and grumbled until God said, "Okay, enough is enough." They are not even entering the promised land. So maybe you just need to repent and say, "God, yeah, I know that didn't happen, but I thank you for the things that did. I thank you because that situation wasn't worse than it was. I thank you." Sometimes all you need to do is thank him that I'm still alive. And sometimes you just need to thank him that you are still in your right mind. That you didn't lose it. You didn't go crazy. You didn't become depressed and held up in some psychiatric unit because of the troubles you have been through. Sometimes you just need to thank him and say, "God, I don't understand how I survived it. I don't understand how come I can still be here and be smiling. But I know that it's you. It must have been you. It could only have been you." Give him thanks for it all. And maybe you just need to make a decision and say, "God, yes, I'm going to seek you more. I will worship you. I will worship you with all of my life. I'll worship you with all that I've got. I'll worship you with all that I am." And if you're here tonight, you have not given your life to this Jesus Christ that we have been talking about and singing about, and maybe you are online, then you need to do so. You understand these things that we are talking about. I'm sure you have seen people and you wondered and said, "How come they are so happy? How come they are so peaceful? How come that person is still there despite all that happened?" It's because they have a Savior and Lord. His name is Jesus. Are you here tonight and you need to make him the Lord of your life? Then right where you are seated or right where you are online, put your right hand on your chest. Thank you. Or you have done that before. Maybe you have done it before. Keep those hands there. But you are backsliding, as we say it. It's Christian terminology. But it just simply means that things are not well. Things are not the way they should be between you and God. You have drawn back from God. You know it. Backsliding is best known first by you before anybody else. But tonight you want to say, "Lord, I'm coming back to you. Lord, I'm coming back to you. Lord, I'm drawing closer to you again. I'm getting back to the way I used to fellowship with you." Put your right hand on your chest also. So whether you are doing it for the first time or you want to do it again, and you just want that reassurance, you want that restoration of fellowship with God. Thank you for those hands. Now just say it in those words and just say, "Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight. I recognize that you died on the cross for my sins and you rose again so that I might have peace with God. I come tonight to you and I present myself as a living sacrifice. I declare that you will be my Lord from today. thank you for the sacrifice you made on the cross. Now is my turn. And I also present myself that my whole life will be lived out in your service. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for restoring me. Thank you because all things have become new and all things have passed away. Amen. Father, thank you for everyone who prayed that. Thank you because you drew them, you touched their hearts, you pulled them towards you. And thank you, oh God, because you said everyone that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so they are in the name of Jesus. Thank you because everything becomes new in their life. Yeah, everything becomes new. Thank you because old sins, old habits, old weights drop off even tonight in the name of Jesus. And indeed they walk in newness of life. Even old sicknesses stop tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for everybody else who is here tonight. Thank you for touching them. Thank you for confirming your lordship in their lives. Thank you for reaching down into their lives and touching them where they most need it. Turning things around, giving direction, opening doors in the name of Jesus. Thank you because you do that which only you can do. And we give you praise ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. All right, we're going to give our offerings. Just like we heard, wise men give gifts. How many people are wise here? Yeah?